WNST, Dallas and Baltimore. And Baltimore positive, we always say WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Don Moeller, I mean, we don't have any Catonsville in this one. We don't have any Dundalk in this one. We got some Dundalk and Catonsville students, of course. Want to give a shout-out to Catonsville and our friends at State Fair. If we were open and weren't just curbsiding and bringing home our meatloaf and our wings from State Fair, we'd be hosting these educational chats with various campus leaders as we're doing this week at Baltimore Positive over at State Fair. Or we'd meet down at Fadley's for a crab cake and some mac and cheese and maybe some oysters this time of year, some fresh rock fish as well. We can't do that, but you can ship those Fadley's crab cakes anywhere in the world, and you can still pick up curbside right downtown at Lexington Market. Also, our friends at Moeller and Gary Realty. I always say to Don that I invited his son Jeff onto the program to give me his whole life story. Don found out about it when he watched it on the internet. You can find out about Moeller and Gary Realty by fishing them out. Don, I'm going to let you do the honors here. You know, I would say Towson University was a longtime partner of ours at WNST on basketball, football, the old Towson Center, the new CQ Arena, back and forth many, many years. And I know when you were county executive, you got to know our next guest very, very well as chief of staff, I'd say, right?
Well, I mean, good friend, I am delighted to welcome our next guest, and Dr. Kim Schatzel, president of Towson University. Hey, Kim, it's amazing. They always say as you get older, I won't put you in that category, but I'll put me in that category. When I pulled up your bio, just to refresh my memory, coming into the show and saw that you've been at Towson University for 4 years, I said, no, it can't be 4 years. Didn't Kim just come there? Does it feel like 4 years to you?
It does feel like 4 years, but it's four really good years. And I just have to say, hello, neighbor. I mean, we were right next to each other, and you know, just had a tremendous time working with you and working with Kevin. Yeah. And I think of him often. I just want to say that too, Don.
Well, he really did. You know, it's funny, and we're going to talk a lot, Dr. Schatz, about Towson and its involvement and its growth. But I always give my good friend Kevin Kamenetz kudos for he really did get the synergy of that university and Towson and the surrounding region, and was such a booster for bringing the university into what we call downtown Towson. And I know that that's something you've been very passionate about as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we are the second largest university in the state. We're the fastest growing. We're the largest university, public or private, in greater Baltimore. So we are an anchor institution. And we take that responsibility to heart. And you know, it's part of who we are. And part of what we intend to do. And when I first came to Towson and I saw that the county seat was up the road from us, and that we had this fantastic, town of Towson up there, and I saw the fact that we really hadn't engaged as much as we should as an anchor institution with Towson itself. And we've been really fortunate over the last few years to be able to work closely both with Kevin, as well as with you, and now with County Executive Olszewski, to be able to further that. And you know, we bought 401 Washington, which is right across the street from county offices, and we're going to be moving people in there, probably about 400-500 of our employees in there, because we don't have enough space on the campus. We've grown so much, we're going to use it as an overflow in there. And then also that we're going to partner on the Armory with Greenberg and Gibbons to be able to move our business engagement center as well as our business accelerator into there, to really have it be a hub of economic and entrepreneurial development right there in downtown Towson. So we're really excited about that.
For folks, I mean, and again, Nestor, you know Towson well, but there may be folks who are listening who aren't as familiar. That Armory, along with, as you said, with the 401 building, but the Armory particularly, is such an exciting project. It's an iconic building. I mean, it's a beautiful building. Full disclosure, Kevin Kamenetz and I walked that building one day when it was clear it was becoming available and surplus, and the former county executive would have loved to have figured out a way for the county to acquire that building, because he saw its potential And now here you are, and I would describe it as a public-private partnership with Greenberg. I mean, talk a little bit about what's going to happen there and what makes that so exciting for Towson.
What's exciting is, like I said, we can step off campus and to be able to put our business accelerator there, have it be a hub for business within Towson itself, as well as the fact that we're talking with the county of moving some of the economic development and workforce development to co-space with us in there. So it's the fact that for the county and for Towson to be able to have a one-stop shop where they can access a major university, where we can actually act as a concierge service for them as well to be able to point people in the right direction is something that we're really excited about. It also provides access to the tremendous talent that we produce at Towson University and the faculty in terms of their research and grant work that they do. So it's really making the power of the university more successful and to be able to partner with the county itself. You know, even though where the world has changed a bit, you know, you can still see the construction going on in Towson. And I always talked about the fact that if you take a look at, we're adding about $700 million of investment in our physical plant at Towson. And if you look up the street, you can see that the work still goes on at Towson Row and at all of the other construction sites. It's about $1 billion. So there's about $1.7 billion worth of investment that's going on right now in Towson. And, I've said, and that's a quarter mile space that this is all going in on. And I think that that's the largest per square foot that we can find in Maryland. And I think that Towson University has something to do with that. I feel strongly the fact that the university being there and being an anchor institution is creating that type of confidence to have that kind of investment.
Well, Dr. Schatzel, I think most people think of you as the business president, right? I mean, your background in business and business administration and running businesses and technology and all the things you have. There's no handbook, and we've learned this across, you know, academia, through people that have run any sector, that says, pandemic, what do we do during a pandemic? You know, and if someone would have said 5 years into your tenure at Towson, we'd have a pandemic and have to figure this out. Let's go back 6-7 weeks for everyone in our society. We all had that moment where we scratched our head and said, oh, this is the real thing. You know, this is the meteor they talked about that we're not prepared for, that we don't know about, that we have no experience with. And then you maneuvering this giant institution that, as we've talked about, an anchor in the middle of a semester, in the middle of sports seasons, in the middle of everything, and trying to sort this thing out just from a pure crisis management standpoint for every business. And we talked to our friends at CVP who were delivering food to hospitals. And within the first day or two or three or five, everyone had a plan B or C or D that they had to be up late at night for a couple of nights figuring out on that first weekend, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think if I use the word pivot five times, I used it 500 times in the space of those 5 weeks because of the fact that you had to be able to really be able to move quickly. And I have to tell you, the one thing that I'm really proud of is the fact that our leadership team and our campus just rallied in support of each other and rallied in support of the students and the community. Everybody just came together, and we were constantly guided by health and safety. We moved 23,000 students to distance learning. We moved 4,000 employees to telework, and we moved 6,000 students and their very anxious families out of the residence halls to their home. And we did it all in about the space of 10 days. And if you would have told me 2 months prior to do that in 10 days, I would have said there's no way. But the community all stepped together, worked hard with each other, and we got it done. We got it done.
How in the world? I mean, give us, I mean, Nestor, I watch Nestor. He's taking notes. I mean, he's a true student of leadership. And when you
clear communication, there we go. That's what we need to have.
I'm going to say the logistics that you just described. Take our folks, Dr. Schatzel, behind the curtain. Peel it back for us. Tell us about how you proceeded to make that. Yes, it's remarkable. But talk to us about how you approached it from a leadership perspective, how you made it happen.
Well, you know, I always say the fact that the most important thing about being a leader is having a great leadership team. And we certainly have one at Towson. So we convened we had an emergency preparedness team that we pulled together. So we were meeting every single day and said, okay, this is what we got to do. Let's meet again tomorrow. Let's find out what's going to happen. But we also had the entire community working with us. And you got to over-communicate. We were putting out communications every single day. One of the things that we did is we started putting students home. We put a frequently asked question page up, both for employees as well as for students. I mean, we were very rapid in our response to people and the transparency of what we were trying to do. You know, one of the things that I said then and I say now is the fact that it's very difficult to give certainty in these uncertain times, and that's what people are often asking me to do. But I can commit to them that they're going to have honesty. And I think that means a lot when you're taking somebody and taking an organization and a community through crisis, is the fact that you're all honest with each other and that you're transparent and you provide that kind of information quickly for people to act on.
Dr. Schatzel, we talked to a lot of folks in Baltimore County and the city at the high school level. Let's just say K through 12, and we've had Don's daughter on, who is a principal of young students. And there's always that percentage that says, I'm here on the campus. I don't have Wi-Fi. I don't have a cell phone. You barely have email. Don't have connectivity. When you send kids home and say, we're going to learn remotely, that didn't sound so outrageous to me 6 or 7 weeks ago, because I have Wi-Fi and I have a cell phone and my video works, and some do and some don't. Where's Towson amidst all of this? I always think, well, there's going to be student debt, but most of these students may have a home or a home life, or they're not homeless, which are challenges we run across throughout society. But and we talked to community college president as well, Dr. Curtinitis, who said it was 1/3 of community college students did not have that kind of connectivity when we're asking them to, or really demanding them to at this point. It's necessary. Where's the Towson student that goes back home to wherever home may be right now?
So, one of the priorities that we had, of course, is, as you mentioned, is to make sure that the students could access the online education. We provided Chromebooks, laptops, so our OTS department was able to respond to the students, and we actually had it up on our frequently asked question page that if there was a technology issue, either in terms of a computer or the fact that you couldn't get Wi-Fi, we could be able to assist in getting a hotspot. And it wasn't just, we were sending students to Western Maryland, to the Eastern Shore, where there was a problem with the fact that there just wasn't Wi-Fi coverage either. So it wasn't just the equipment or the technology. It was the fact that where they were going home to just didn't have it. So we worked really hard in the first 2 weeks to be able to get everybody up and running. We also stood up an emergency preparedness fund for the students to deal with food insecurity or deal with emergency issues that they faced. We were fortunate to be able to have the community step forward to be able to support it. And our foundation, we just recently ran our big give last week as well, and it was targeted at both the student as well as the faculty and staff emergency fund. And for the students, we've awarded almost $250,000 to over 800 students that have applied to be able to put that out. So, we have students that are struggling. We have families that are struggling. And we want to be there to be able to support them to be successful. These are extraordinary times. We want to be able to support our community members, both on the campus as well as off. We've worked very closely with St. Joe's. We've worked very closely with Baltimore County. We turned over, the old Marriott, which we now call 10 West, to Baltimore County to house first responders. So, we are working to be able to support our own students in terms of continuing their success. But I have to tell you, everybody's coming together to support each other. It's these kind of times that, crisis brings out the best or the worst in people. And across the board, I've seen the best come out in everybody.
Well, Nestor talked about the challenges for the students. I think one of the things that folks are fascinated by as well, Dr. Schatzel, is the challenges for your staff. I mean, you've got a large staff, of professors. You've got, in addition to your full-time professors, you've got some adjunct professors. Talk about the challenge that they faced and the different stages of readiness that your instructional staff had as they had to suddenly overnight transition the way they delivered instruction.
Right. That was indeed another pivot that we managed as well. We were really fortunate for the fact that our faculty and the instructional staff dove into it. We also have an instructional design group that supported them, and we also have an absolutely phenomenal office of IT office of OTS. We have data that shows the fact that our number of WebEx meetings went up 3,000%.
Wow.
In the space of 2 weeks. And in a month, we had over 140,000 participants in WebEx meetings. These are unique participants in WebEx meetings. So, it just goes to show you the fact that you can do it. But I have to tell you, it was a mountain to be able to climb. And like I said, it was because everybody worked together. The call volume that went up in OTS was just dramatic as well. But they were so helpful in terms of having people ask questions, everything from connectivity issues to, I called them. I couldn't log in certain things to be able to figure it out. So I called into the helpline and had some people help me in terms of being able to use certain functions of the WebEx itself. And again, we tried to put up a frequently asked questions page to be able to support everybody. But it was a trial by fire, because until you go in it, you can't stress test to this level an organization. But we really passed with flying colors, and I'm quite proud of Towson.
Well, it's been remarkable to watch. Several things jump out. Just recently, Dr. Perman announced that he's putting together a task force, really an advisory group, to begin to think through the fall. And again, as I've told others, it's personal to me. I have a granddaughter who's a senior in high school, is off to Roanoke College, or she hopes she is. She survived the college selection process. She's very excited. And now I guess she's faced, like so many others, in hoping there will be a fall semester. When you look ahead with your team and what Dr. Perman's doing at the state, what are your thoughts as to how you end up deciding what to do? Because I think roughly more than 70% of your students live on campus, correct?
Well, we have about that number. And, right. We or at least even in the surrounding community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How we have two task teams that we've developed on campus that I announced actually last week. One is to help us prepare for the students to return to class in the fall. But I think what people also forget is the faculty and staff have to return to campus. And that will probably start, maybe the late June period when some of the restrictions are lifted by the state. So look at both of those, and you have to scenario plan. I mean, we're basically scenario planning so that we can make some decisions when it becomes clearer what governor's directives are going to be going forward, what CDC requirements are going to be, what type of testing requirements we might have. But we're laying all of that out so that when that clarity comes, that we can be able to move as quickly as possible. To be able to start making those decisions and making those changes. But, I think everybody will tell you the very, very first priority is the fact that we are going to ensure the health and safety of our community and our community members, and that we are going to strictly comply with state and federal requirements. So there's no option, it will be rigorously compliant with them. And that will guide us in everything we do. But there's many, many steps that we have to take to be able to have those scenarios laid out in front.
Are you cautiously optimistic, Dr. Schatz, or you just don't know at this point? When you go to bed at night, are you cautiously optimistic that you'll have a fall semester?
So I am. I mean, I actually was talking with my team today, and it's almost, and this is going to sound weird, it's almost like we have too much time to think about it. When we shut down, we did it right away. And if somebody would have told me you were going to shut down in 10 days and move everybody online to telework, I would have said, there's no way that we could possibly do this. Similarly, it's kind of like, can we really reopen? And of course we're going to have to reopen. We're going to have to reopen the economy. We're going to have to reopen the state. It will be different. post-COVID-19 will be a different type of reopening, and we'll have to be able to, make sure that we're compliant. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. Life will continue. We're just going to have to figure out what that looks like, and we're going to have to put the necessary steps in place and the necessary procedures in place to make sure that everybody stays safe and well.
You know, Doc, we all go to college and we spend all this money, and some of us have student debt, some don't, and you know, we live our lives to try to be better at critical thinking, better at communicating, better at crisis management. Everything that this thing has put out for us, right, is a test of all the things we were supposed to learn in college, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's still a transformational process. It's something that people look forward to, and that's a milestone in life. I committed to the fact that we were going to have an on-campus commencement. When we first did this, we had to cancel commencement, and I actually said, we're not canceling it, we're postponing it. But I made a commitment to the class of 2020 that I was going to see them walk across that stage in CQ Arena, and that we were going to celebrate them and their families and everything that they've achieved in being a Towson University graduate. And we're going to do that. It didn't happen in May, but it's going to happen as soon as we can.
What's that going to look like, Dr. Schatzel?
Well, again, we're going to have to find out what we can possibly do. If social distancing is required, we might make smaller groups. We might move it out to United Stadium. But right now, those are the different scenarios that we have to put in place. But the one thing that I guaranteed to them is the fact we're going to have a physical commencement when we know that we can do it safely.
Well, it's jumping back, and I know the students and families will be happy to hear that, is, someone else we spoke to said, it's sad, but we'll get through the sadness. We'll come out on the other side. On a positive note, when you look back, and you think 4.5, 5 years ago, when you began to think about coming to this place called Towson University, what was it about Towson that appealed to you, that made you think about uprooting your family and coming to Baltimore County?
Because it makes a difference. I mean, Towson University is the kind of university that students come to and their families send them, and that we have them leave the campus and we empower them to be able to move on to achievements in terms of their career, make contributions to the state, and have all the things that their parents want for them that they are looking to be able to achieve, as well as the fact that we're an anchor institution. So community engagement is a huge part of what we are as an institution. And in fact, the students that decide to come to Towson, that's one of the reasons why they pick us, is that they want to be part of an institution that has that level of community engagement and where it's located. So it's a very, very special place, and it attracts very special students, faculty, and staff. And I think that's meant a lot, not just in the past years that I've been here, but going forward. I am very confident that Towson is going to lead part of the recovery in terms of the post-COVID-19 for Baltimore as well as for the state. And it's all because of the people that are part of it.
You know, Doc, we always talk to people that aren't from around here and saying you were recruited into this and what Baltimore represents. And, I poked around on your presidential priorities and talked about partnerships that work for greater Baltimore. And, of course, former county executives always say Baltimore County, and we're Baltimore positive, and I live in the city. One of the reasons to put this thing together, there is sort of this invisible line between the county and the city that isn't real for any of us that navigate it. You know, it's sort of theoretical, and certainly from the way we pay taxes and the way we live, but to recruit anyone from outside to Towson University, they say, where is it? You say, well, it's in Baltimore.
It is, right?
So, and bringing that part of it together, I think is so important for the whole region, because the people that come to Towson and stay, they don't live in Towson. They live in Baltimore. They fly out of BWI. They come to the city and enjoy things. And that was such a big part of all of the universities in the area, whether it's UMBC, Towson, or the actual schools like Copp and UB, Morgan, that are in the city. It's Baltimore's thing, right?
Right. Oh, no. That's why we are, as you heard me say, we are deliberate, and I am deliberate in saying that we're the largest university in greater Baltimore. Because of the fact that that is our space. I'm a big proponent of regional economies and taking a look at an area regionally, taking a look at county and city lines and things like that, it can really kind of prevent the expansive thinking that's needed and the collaboration that's needed to be able to have this region step forward. And I know that this is increasingly becoming a conversation about regionalism and how we can help each other.
Well, I mean, your background in Michigan and speaking to Detroit, one of the reasons we formed Baltimore Positive was I was out on the road with the Ravens for 3 years in a row, and I was showing up in places like Charlotte and Indianapolis and Cleveland and Detroit, places that I had gone when I was a younger man, you know, and thought, well, my place is better than that place. And then I go to these places and say, well, look at that, Detroit got better. And I always ask people like you, that are native Michiganers, what made it better? How did it get better, and how can we import some of the things that have made other communities better? I see Nashville growing up to say that's it's Baltimore's turn. We need to be next. But there's a playbook on how to do this.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And one of the big things that I really am looking forward to is entrepreneurship. In all honesty. That was one of the big pushes that we have to be able to have the Armory become the home of our accelerator and to be able to expand our entrepreneurship work. If you take a look at job creation, we all know the fact that most jobs are created by businesses that have under 100 employees, 500 employees. So to be able to support those types of businesses in Baltimore and really start fostering Baltimore as a hotbed of entrepreneurial work. And, I always want to remind people the fact that, one of our most famous entrepreneurs, Kevin Plank, in terms of Under Armour, wasn't a technology play. And I mean, basically, he was making athletic shirts out of ladies' lingerie. It doesn't have to be a coder. You can break the paradigm so often in various different ways if you're an innovator, which he is and he was. So I'm really excited about the fact that the Armory and the incubator and the startup that we're going to put up there is going to have an impact in that area.
Well, when you look, I mean, you can hear the enthusiasm about Towson in your voice. When you look down the road, the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, what, for our folks who are listening out there, and if you are listening, we're with Dr. Kim Schatzel, president of Towson University, an anchor institution in the Baltimore region. When you look down the road the next few years at Towson University, what gives you giddy up? What excites you? What makes you look forward to getting out of bed tomorrow?
I just think that the relationship that we have with the state and the relationship that we have with the community is just going to get even stronger. One of the things I tell people is the fact that the diversity of Towson University has increased dramatically over the past 15 years. Almost 50% of our students are students of color, and almost 30% are African American. And those aren't just numbers. It really reflects the population of the state of Maryland. And we have the second highest graduation rate in the state. So our students are successful, and they're successful inclusively. So when I take a look at the success of the students, when I take a look at the success and the impact that we're having in terms of business and community partners, and then I take a look at the demographics and how we represent the state, I always like to say that Towson University is Maryland's university. And I just want to make sure that we keep working towards that aim and having that impact on this state.
Well, we appreciate the visit for sure. We hope we can get together in closer quarters and elbow apart, maybe 5.5 feet apart, somewhere at the CVP or somewhere in downtown Towson real soon. We appreciate you taking some time here. It feels like we had a lot of time. Now it feels like, what are we going to do with all of our time? Well, I think we're all trying to use it wisely in various ways. Once we got this thing managed in the early part of this, it's, let's learn a new language. Let's do something we've never done. Let's take a class online, right?
That's absolutely right.
Well, we appreciate your time. We'll send everybody out to Towson, towson.edu. You can meet the president there, Dr. Kim Schatzel, leading Towson now into the fifth year there as well. Big shout out to our sponsors from Catonsville and State Fair. And I'll tell you what, Don Moeller's right up the street there. He's going to get me some shrimp and grits and some chicken and waffles before it's all over with, as well as our friends down at Fadley's. We talk about shipping those crab cakes. You can ship them to Michigan if you want to, Dr. Schatzel. It's one one click away at Fadley's on the web, and you can also curbside still on the backside of Lexington Market, which is a couple blocks away from me. Shame on me. I haven't put my mask on and gone and got a crab cake. I will do that soon. I promise to see you over there, Damey. Also, our friends at Mulder and Gary Realty. I keep kidding Don that I had his son on. He didn't even know it a couple weeks ago. You can find that out in the buyatoyota.com audio vault about all things real estate. Jeff's still closing deals. A lot of folks are, and using the virtual world as we all are right now to communicate. Big appreciation to Dr. Kim Schatz, all of the administrators, chancellors, presidents coming on from all of the anchor institutions and universities, Coppin, Morgan, UMBC, Dr. Rabowski joining us, all of them, Kurt Schmoke, I'm really looking forward to chatting with from my alma mater of UB. All of that in the Baltimore Positive Repository, as well as in the buyatoyota.com audio vault. Merging what we used to do, sports, with what we now do in Baltimore and keeping calm and staying local. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, like Towson University, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.